Some helpful conversations from the day's talk with Luangpa Bramot.
I notice the mind wanders a lot from one thing to another. It doesn't stop.
Just know the mind is running around. It is not our job to make it stop. And if we are wanting it to stop, notice the wanting.
I can't find my mind.
Don't look for it. Are you a jealous person?
Yes.
Know when jealousy arises. Anger arises. Happiness arises. Just keep knowing what arises in the mind. Can you see that as you are listening to me, you are not aware of your mind? You are sending your mind out and forgetting to notice within. Now you are trying to be still. Don't force the mind back in, or to be still either. Just know what it is doing naturally.
Am I practicing correctly?
In your case, you are a little too stuck in samadhi. You need to relax out of it and watch the mind throughout the day during regular activities. Many of us have an image in our heads about what meditation is supposed to be or supposed to look like. We have to sit still and erect, cross-legged, eyes closed, and barely breathing. We see someone doing this, and we assume he is a great meditator. Actually, it is much simpler than this. When standing, be aware of standing. When sitting, be aware of sitting. When happy or unhappy, be aware of this too.
I'm feeling really neutral towards everything.
Good. There are two kinds of neutral. The first is impartial to or not caught up in mental states as a result of seeing them clearly as they really are. This type of neutrality is ideal. The second, inadvisable type, is usually a result of one-pointed concentration. It is dull and dim. But this is not your issue. Your practice is okay. Those who would like to reach vipassana and have never practiced calmness meditation, samatha, often do a much better job at watching their minds than those who are addicted to samatha. However, those who were samatha practitioners, but then are able to come out of it and understand vipassana will develop more quickly. The ones who have never practiced before are lazy. Their minds don't have much power or fortitude and lose interest easily, even though they are able to see their mind moving quite well.
May I ask for your advice regarding my meditation?
Don't go looking for mental states or phenomena, and don't go looking for the mind. I wasted a lot of time doing this in the past. Let phenomena happen first and then see what has happened. So if we are happy, know that there is happiness. If we are confused, know that there is confusion. There are two correct things to watch when we watch the mind. Firstly, we can know the feeling that we have now. Secondly, we can watch the mind's activities, noticing whether it has slipped into meditation objects or into thinking, or perhaps it has gone to the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, or a bodily movement or bodily function. Keep watching in these ways, and then we'll see that each state arises and falls, that it doesn't last, and that it cannot be controlled. In short, we'll see the three characteristics. Can you feel that you are trying to control the mind? Trying to keep it still now? This is samatha, keeping it continuously in the same state. You may get peaceful for periods, but you won't see the three characteristics. Notice that your mind keeps going off into thinking. Notice this often. If the mind goes off thinking often, that is a good thing. It means that we are noticing it often. For most people, the mind goes off once, and it is off all day long. Keep watching, and we'll see this body and mind are not ours, and not us. They just do their thing, uncontrollably on their own. When we see that they are not us, we will enter the stream of enlightenment. That is called asodapana. When we let go of all attachment to the body, we have reached a further stage, called the non-returner, or anagami. When we let go of all attachment to the mind, we are fully enlightened, or an arahant. Remember well that we are not trying to better ourselves in this practice. We are not trying to change or control anything, to be happier, more peaceful, or a nicer person. We are practicing to know ourselves better. Know this body and mind as they really are, and we will see that this body is oppressed by endless suffering. It's either hot or cold, tired or achy, hungry or uncomfortable. The mind is always in flux, moving from here to there, working all day and all night uncontrollably. This is seeing the truth. Learning the truth of the body and mind is learning the truth of life. This is learning Dhamma. When we understand the truth completely in life, we will be free of suffering. We suffer when we resist the truth, when we don't accept the inevitable. For example, when we resist growing old, we suffer. If we don't want to be old, and we are stressed about it, we get older even quicker. The same is true for pain. Pain is sure to happen. If we don't accept it when it arises, we will be in a great deal of suffering. Meditators don't often accept that the mind is impermanent. They try to make the mind still as can be and hold it there. When the mind isn't still, they complain that they didn't meditate well that day. Whether we are good or not, the mind oscillates between being still and active naturally. There is no such thing as a permanent state on this planet. We are not trying to be permanently peaceful or anything else. This body is just something we are borrowing temporarily from the world, which we will have to return eventually. Just practice to see the truth, not to evade it.
I can see that my mind wanders off, and then I try to bring it back and hold it.
Very good. It is good that you can see what you are doing, not that you are bringing your mind back. Defilements arise, and then we see them. This is what we do. You pass, you get a B. The best case is that the mind is virtuous and not defiled, and we know that. That's an A grade. Second best is when defilements arise and we see them. The next is not so great, when the mind is wholesome and we don't see it. That only gets a C. Happy and blissful, but mindless. The worst, of course, is when the mind is defiled and we don't see it. That's a D or an F. I didn't make this up, this grading system. The Buddha mentioned these four possible situations as well. Know as much as possible. We can't practice when we are working and required to think and need to know the content of the thoughts. We also can't practice when we are asleep. All other times, we can watch our minds.
April 24th, 2009.
I have been practicing watching the mind for a couple of years now, and the mind is bright and I feel very relaxed. Lately, I find that sometimes mindfulness knows that thinking is arising very quickly. Sometimes I'm about to remember something, and then it drops off so fast, I'm not sure if I needed to know it or not. Sometimes I have no idea if there was going to be a thought or not.
Don't be concerned about this. But in the working hours, or when we need to accomplish something that requires thinking, we need to intentionally focus on the task at hand. We need to concentrate on what we are doing. When we have done mindfulness practice consistently, the mind is no longer interested in what we are thinking. As soon as a thought comes up, mindfulness sees it, and it falls away immediately. We are not stuck in worldly things. Sometimes we don't even know what thoughts are about, as they fall away so quickly. And then another totally different topic may arise. This is just how the mind works. But when there is a situation that requires information continuously for a while, we need to intentionally think. In working hours, we need to focus on what we are doing. We can't effectively watch the mind. We can, however, focus on our jobs, and then when defilements arise, know they have. When we are at your stage, we need to be able to switch on and switch off our mindfulness practice as necessary.
Some helpful conversations with Luangpa Bramot from February 28, 2010.
I seem to have chosen a place where I wallow in sadness. I don't have much inspiration in my practice.
Nowhere that you choose to dwell will be happy. We are suffering, so anywhere we go, suffering will follow. It is the mind that suffers, the mind that resists. We don't want to be where we are, so we suffer. If we can be mindful, we can see that the mind is suffering because it is not impartial to what arises. The disliking is causing suffering. Try to be aware as much as you can.
I find that my practice has improved a lot in the last 8 months. I am not over-focusing as much, and suffering has decreased a lot.
Keep practicing as you are. See that everything arises and passes away. Arises and passes. Don't strive for happiness. Looking for happiness is a careless way to practice. See that it goes away, just like everything else. Happiness is not constant. See that everything in our lives is fluctuating. Seeing in this way, you can reach a greater state, far above both happiness and suffering.
I've noticed that I've made progress in my meditation. I sometimes can see my mind wandering off as much as 20 times per minute. I also chuckle at anger that used to hook me in.
Very good. Keep at it. Notice the mind liking and disliking as well. Soon mindfulness will arise by itself and will be completely neutral, impartial to what arises. Good job.
I feel my practice has worsened lately. I'm holding to phenomena too much.
So just know that you are doing that. You believe your practice has deteriorated because you are thinking and comparing it to when you were making progress.
I have to thank you. I used to fixate my attention on one object. Now I have let the mind relax and I understand so much more all the time.
Good. Can you see that now the mind is not fixated? Phenomena can show us that they arise and fall away. That is the path of wisdom. Holding our attention somewhere to still the mind is not. But we can also see that if we are not peaceful enough, we can't see the arising and falling away either. So we need both practices.
I can see clearly that the mind isn't me. During daily activities, the body and the mind are working and mindfulness can see this.
The body and mind are two distinct things. Sometimes we watch the body, sometimes the mind. However, all things will show us their true three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. We must see this in order to reach vipassana, not just stare at one object. You're doing a great job.
I bounce around in my practice a lot. Sometimes I walk, sometimes I watch the breath, sometimes I use Buddha mantra. And sometimes I feel sleepy and then start moving my arm and watching the movement. Or I just get up and walk. I'm never quite sure if I'm doing the appropriate thing or not.
Just do the things that make mindfulness arise. I'll let you figure out what to watch for yourself. Watch what keeps you the most aware, whether it is watching walking, the breath, or anything else. It is important to be able to observe our own practice and see what works. But be careful to not overthink things. If you are thinking too much, it is helpful to add a mantra like Budo into the practice. Make sure, however, you are using it not to just be peaceful, but to notice when the mind leaves the mantra and goes off to think. Then the mind will have the appropriate amount of energy and peace to practice effectively.
Lately, I have been efficient at noticing the mind fabricating, making things up. I am still not completely neutral to what arises.
Just seeing the partiality when it comes up is enough for the mind to become neutral on its own.
Also, I can see the sense of self, the me, come up quite clearly and inflate and deflate like a balloon.
It has always been arising. Just now you can see it. This is a good thing. Now you don't have to be its slave.
About 4 months ago, you asked me to practice without doing it with so much intention, so much wanting. I can't do what you asked.
So what can you do?
I can pig-headedly keep trying harder.
Well, that's better than pig-headedly not meditating at all. So tell me about your practice.
I don't know. I'm lazy sometimes. Sometimes it's just too intentional. But sometimes it's okay, I guess.
So you can see that it is not consistent. Each day is different. Nothing is permanent. Just keep practicing all the time. Don't skip even one day. And just know when the wanting comes up as much as you can. Know when the mind is eager for success. So what's the problem?
I've been practicing so long, I can't see the defilements decreasing at all.
Can you see them arising and falling?
Sometimes.
See that happiness arises and falls. Suffering arises and falls too. That is more important. We're looking to see that whatever arises also falls away. Defilements will come up all day long. We're not practicing so that they don't. If there is a cause for a defilement to arise, then it will. When we keep practicing, mindfulness will arise more often. Mindfulness is a virtuous state, not a defiled one. When the mind is used to being virtuous, the defilements will have less opportunity to come up and feed, to come in and take over. They will lose their momentum. Don't be discouraged. Try to notice when you feel discouraged as quickly as you can. This point is for all practitioners. We can get tired. That is okay. However, we must not let discouragement win out. We must know quickly when a discouraged feeling arises and continue to practice. Just about all meditators have periods of discouragement, thinking they're not getting enough results and feeling beaten. Let's not be so hard on ourselves. Let's not be impatient. It's all about being neutral, impartial. Actually, there probably are good results, but they're just not up to the standards that our minds have decided on.
I feel I'm not neutral towards phenomena. I get upset and criticize myself for not practicing well enough. My meditation is not as good as I would like it to be. It brings up anger.
If you want it to go as you wish, then this is the ego at work. And there is no ego. It is just a delusion, just a defilement. Don't try to be good. Just know it each time a defilement arises, and the mind will be good on its own. There is no point in getting angry with the defilements.